You are listening to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta.
Hi, and good morning, everyone. This is Wellness Wednesday. My name is Donna Bean, and I am a public health nurse here in Bethel. We have got a really important topic this week. It's not as interesting maybe as measles outbreak from last month or tuberculosis that we're going to talk about next month, but we are going to talk about patient safety awareness. The week of March 10th through 16th this year is Patient Safety Awareness Week. And it's brought to us by the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, which is a national patient safety foundation. And so we've got Deborah Sampson here with us from YKHC. She is the Performance Improvement Project Manager over at YK in the West Wing. So she's here to talk about patient safety awareness, and this is for any patients coming into YK, Bethel Family Clinic, or even the Bethel Public Health Center. These are some issues we'd like patients or all of our listeners, you guys have probably all been a patient at some point. We just want to get some messages out to you about things to talk to your providers about, some of your patient rights, and just why patient safety is important. So, Deborah, if you don't mind, if you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, your work with YK, and why this topic is so important.
Thank you, Donna. I think a lot of our listeners might know me already. I am from Bethel. My parents are John and Ella Kinigak. My grandparents are from Guigilnuk, Albert and Frida Beaver. My Yupik name is Yukak. I am half Yupik. And I did go to nursing school, and I've been a nurse for over 25 years now. I've been working the whole time here with YKHC. It's been a very wonderful experience for me to be able to be a nurse here in my own community, my own region, and in the YKHC Corporation. I came out to Bethel as a new grad nurse, and I started on the inpatient unit. And I worked there for 3 years, and moved on to outpatient clinics. I became an outpatient clinic manager. Then I did that for 8 years. And then when I was ready to move on, there was a director of performance improvement who got to know me and liked me and created a position for me, essentially, in performance improvement. So I've been the clinical focused person on our department.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
What is performance improvement?
Well, we have a department in the in YKHC organization where we are looking at the nationally mandated standards. Like the Joint Commission is our accrediting body, and they tell us what we need to be doing to achieve accreditation and keep accreditation. And they'll come out at least every 3 years and do an on-site evaluation of our organization and make sure we are doing what they want us to be doing in terms of quality and safety. Okay. And they have this big Bible of standards that they're updating twice a year, and we have to be in tune with what they're expecting of us. And the most important part is not that the leaders are aware of all the standards, but that the frontline staff are aware as well and following the standards.
Okay. So basically, now your job, you've worked all over the hospital, so you understand how it works. And so now you're helping to improve nursing practice, or is it also just every aspect of patient care?
Yeah, in general, not only nursing, but in cooperation with the physicians, with the unit managers, okay. with the directors in the organization, and sometimes even with top leadership.
Okay.
Just letting them know what the expectations are and how they can help achieve that.
So you're the person behind the scenes that patients don't ever maybe see, but you're helping to make sure that everyone's safe.
Exactly. Our department does that. And the unit leaders, like the managers, you know, that's their ultimate goal, is providing excellent care with top safety. But they're very busy, mm-hmm. and they're focused on their clinical topics. So we're able to look at the standards and say, okay, here's the new wording, here's the new language, here's a new way that they want us to be providing quality or safety.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just help them with that new information.
Okay, awesome. So for anyone who's listening, if you have any questions about this topic today, patient safety, if you want to share any stories, the numbers to call are 543-5985 or 1-800-995-8954. So Patient Safety Awareness Week, just to give a little bit of background, it's an annual recognition event, and we want everyone to learn more about healthcare safety. So we're going to talk locally what patients are entitled to and how we can prevent harm in healthcare settings. So we consider this a public health concern. So that's why we over at Public Health, we're partnering with Debra and YKHC to talk about this this issue, so that everyone has a better understanding of what are the patient safety needs that we need to address. So although there has been real progress made in patient safety over the past two decades, current estimates place harm as a leading cause of death worldwide. Some studies suggest that medical error may cause as many as 400,000 deaths in the U.S. each year, and not all errors result in death. So in a recent survey of a representative sample of Americans, 41% said that they had experienced a medical error in their own care or in the care of a close relative or friend. So harms, you know, like misidentifying a patient or maybe performing a procedure on the wrong limb may not result in death, but they can result in long-term or permanent impact on the patient's physical health, emotional health, financial well-being, and, you know, and even their relationships. So I was wondering if Debra, you could just talk a little bit about what are some of the things you guys are focusing right now, like to improve, maybe to try and prevent some of these errors.
Yeah. So we have events in this Safety Awareness Week,
mm-hmm.
at the YKHC. So throughout this week, we are rolling out patient safety topic information. We have a booth, information booth, at the front of the hospital.
Oh, I saw that the other day, yeah.
All week. And we're just getting, we're encouraging patients to pause and take a moment to think, you know, what is this topic? What does this pertain to me? And why should I think about it?
Mm-hmm.
So not only as workers do we do efforts to try to keep our patients safe and keep quality very high, but we want to educate our patients. And we really believe that by educating them, they can help as well, mm-hmm. in improving their own, not only quality, but safety as they're coming in and receiving care in our organization. So we reach out and we educate our patients and we tell them these are some of the things you can do to help keep yourself safe mm-hmm. in our organization, and we want your cooperation. So one of the things, we do a rollout of the annual National Patient Safety Goals that is provided by the Joint Commission, mm-hmm. who is our accrediting organization. And every year there's a new set of goals. Now, I have to say the past 3 years, they have been the same goals essentially.
Does that mean that overall we're not getting better if they're still the same?
It could mean that. Yeah, you're okay. Absolutely right. The fact of the matter is there's a lot of things to work on, and these are not the only ones to work on. But because they continue to be up top in mm-hmm. the problem, so they are chosen to be kept on the list. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we wonder how something so simple could be such a big problem. Mm-hmm. For example, one of the very first goals is making sure that we have the correct patient in front of us.
Yep.
So we teach our staff the correct way and the wrong way to check for patient identification. Mm-hmm. Instead of going to the patient and saying, "Hello, is your name Mike Joe? Mm-hmm. Is your birthday 2/11/07? That's the wrong way to do it. Mm-hmm. And you wonder, what's wrong about it? It's because we're giving the patient the answers. And especially if they cannot speak English, mm-hmm. that would be the wrong way to do it. So it's setting up the situation to be a high risk for failure. Mm-hmm. So something as simple as that can be a risk for mistakes in the healthcare setting. So we even teach our employees the correct way to check mm-hmm. for patient identification.
And also, does that mean that if a patient gets called in to triage or an outpatient setting, and if nobody asks their name or birthday, they can say, "Hey, you didn't ask me who I was, or do you have the right person?" They can do that?
They can, but usually we have the opposite problem.
Okay.
We ask it so much, especially at the beginning when we first started doing this. Mm-hmm. We ask it so much, our patients would say, "Can't you guys figure out who I am yet?" And we have to explain to them that we take care of a lot of patients. Mm-hmm. And this is something we do at every level of care. Even though a nurse might have triaged the patient and they've gotten their identification there, they go into the room and the provider comes in, then the provider's asking the same kind of questions. Tell me your name, tell me your birth date. The person who's drawing the blood will mm-hmm. say, "Tell me your name, tell me your birth date." The person who's getting an x-ray will say, "Tell me your name, tell me your birth date." It's because we take this very seriously, and we do realize that we do have patients in our region, many patients who may carry the same name. Mm-hmm. So, and a greater problem is some of our patients with the same name and a really close birth date can live in the same village. Mm-hmm. So that's a very high risk that we are very aware of, and we take this very seriously. And like I said, that patients usually say, "You know, can't you figure out who I am yet?"
Yeah. But know that it's for their safety ultimately to make sure they're getting the right care.
Exactly.
Okay.
And even though the patient may have a name band on their wrist, mm-hmm. we're still going to do it. We'll pick up their wrist, we'll look at their name mm-hmm. band, and we'll say, "Tell me your name, tell me your birth date." Mm-hmm. It's still another level of verification of making sure that everything's correct and we can proceed with what we're about to do. Mm-hmm. So that's one example, one of the National Patient Safety Goals that we promote during this week.
Well, and just for maybe folks who don't know, the Joint Commission is a really big deal in healthcare. So they set national standards and they accredit hospitals. So accreditation is like a big process to make sure that hospitals and institutions are meeting minimum requirements to be considered, I guess, well functioning enough for them to continue. For example, the University of Alaska Anchorage Education. It's the huge scandal that came out recently that the education school was not accredited. And so that puts people's degrees in jeopardy. So so schools have to go through a process of accreditation, and so do hospitals. And so the Joint Commission is in charge of that to make sure that we're at a level that a minimum, bare minimum level, but also above that with these goals for patient safety and just functioning with a quality healthcare.
Exactly. And like I mentioned earlier, the Joint Commission comes out here and does an on-site evaluation of our organization every 3 years. But for the 2 years that they're not here, we do a self-evaluation, and we submit those results of our self-evaluation to the Joint Commission. And I always tell our new employees, because we do an orientation to all the new employees about all this quality and mm-hmm. safety that we do in our organization, and because we want them on board with what our efforts are in keeping our patients with top quality care and safe care. So we tell them that what keeps us honest about doing our self-evaluation is that we care about our patients. We receive health care in our own facility. A lot of us, I do, mm-hmm. my family does. And the other thing, too, is the Joint Commission really can pop up. They have...
Like a random visit?
Yeah.
Okay.
They have a language in their accreditation manual that says they can come as early as a year and a half after the last survey, so mid-cycle. Okay. And their evaluation to our organization is very unannounced.
Okay.
We have no idea when they're going to show up. They could come early. They can come late.
Mm-hmm.
So we really – and this that was not how it always was because I've been with the organization for 25 years. I was here when they did not do unannounced surveys. They did scheduled surveys, and we knew exactly when they were going to show up. But since they've moved to this unannounced survey process, we like it. We know it's good for us.
Mm-hmm.
The employees like it.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be working in a state where we know we're delivering top quality care, and it doesn't matter when the Joint Commission would show up, that they would see us how we normally function, and mm-hmm. we want to normally function in such a high state.
So with the new expansion, was that also designed with all of this in mind, like improving patient safety from this older building?
Oh, absolutely. All of this leadership is always looking at how to better the care for our population that we have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so pleased with the leadership that they're always looking forward to what's not working and how can we make it work better.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing that with this nice, big, beautiful building that's coming up. So speaking to that, too, since we are going to be opening in the near future, mm-hmm. that means more visits from the Joint Commission. And for every level of opening that we have, they're going to come every time to do an initial inspection and to see, how are we doing it,
mm-hmm.
and to help us evaluate and see where we might need to improve on something that we might have missed. But we work very closely in making sure we are following their expectations. So going back to the National Patient Safety Goals, there are many topics on the annual goals. The first one was identifying patients correctly. The next one is improving staff communication, specifically making sure that the test results get to the right staff person on time.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways we make sure that test results are going to the provider and making sure they're getting the proper attention they need is to have standards, our own standards of, okay, for this test, what's our expectation on making sure it gets proper attention. For example, we have critical values mm-hmm. on some test results, and we have time limits on ourselves to make sure that they get proper attention.
So like if someone gets their blood drawn to have their the hemoglobin looked at or to have their liver function looked at, does that you have a set time that that should come back?
And protocols. We have a protocol saying, okay, this is a critical value. This is not just going to be sent to the provider on a normal cycle, but we're going to actually pick up the phone. We're going to call the provider. We're going to make sure we talk to the provider, and we're going to make sure that they repeat the result back to us so we understand okay. that they really heard the criticality of that result. And then once we've gotten all that validated, then we know they've mm-hmm. got the information and that that has been completed.
Mm-hmm.
So it raises up the priority of that result.
Well, and then I know this is something we deal with as public health nurses. I travel out to the village, and sometimes we get samples, either blood samples or sputa samples, or you can even get urine samples, and you have to get them in to be looked at. But then we have weather. So what is that like in terms – I mean, you can't change the weather.
The weather is quite a challenge for us, yeah.
Does the Joint Commission – say anything about that, or like you can't.
They are very impressed with what we're able to do in terms of the challenges we have. They understand the difficulties that our environment can pose,
mm-hmm.
and they ask us, okay, so you identified this as a problem, and they'll ask us, what have you done to analyze it,
mm-hmm.
To better it? And we go through that. We have that process where we'll say, these materials are not getting to the village. They don't have their urine cups
mm-hmm.
or... You know, because weather has been such a problem, and what are we going to do? So maybe we'll say, okay, this summer we're going to increase our PAR levels. We're going to send out more supply in the fall time so that during the times when the weather is bad,
mm-hmm.
there's a less chance of them not having the supplies that they truly need. So this is a continual process where we're always evaluating every day, even what's going on.
So you're aware, yeah. I know that we learned in nursing school in the 90s that there was a report that came out, the International Organization of Medicine, on how to make improvements without, because we're all human, but without punishing healthcare workers, because we are human. Sometimes you're working 12, 14-hour shifts. And so the Joint Commission helps us to make those improvements, and we analyze the problems that are going on, but without anyone having to be afraid of being punished, because then that way, you know, people might start hiding things. So we have to have open conversations between providers, mid-level, higher-level nurses, CNAs, staff, right, and then patients. So patients should also be reporting if they notice anything.
Yeah, we have – that's very good. We have patient comment
okay.
program in place in our organization, and we have, like, little blue boxes throughout –
not only the hospital, mm-hmm. but CHSB building, the different residential facilities, the long-term care, even at the hostel, mm-hmm. where there's paper boxes. I mean, paper comment forms that are in those collection boxes that can be used for patients to fill out. We also receive comments through the email system. Okay. So you can submit in a comment to customercomments@ykhc.org. We also receive comments from patients over the phone. So you can call mm-hmm. and tell the operator, I want to submit a comment, and they'll transfer your call to the performance improvement department. And we can receive that call over the phone. And YKHC takes these very seriously. They're very interested in a patient's perspective mm-hmm. on their care that they've received. In fact, they do a weekly analysis, making sure that they are being addressed and that they're being evaluated and closed out properly. So these are that's one of many ways that we hear from our patients, not only through comments, but we're even required to reach out and we ask our patients, please fill out the survey.
Oh, yeah.
So every time a patient has been admitted, you might get a letter in the mail saying, here's a survey, can you fill it out, please? Mm-hmm. And those are requirements that we have to do. But we've also gone above and beyond that, where we are even reaching out to our outpatient patients. And we're saying, you recently received care here at our organization in the outpatient setting. We want you to tell us about it. We are really looking at how we can improve, if there are anything to improve.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know, we respect cultural topics. I really like that about the organization. They're very sensitive to cultural topics as well.
And I have a question. Did the new, I know you've got a new system for kind of calling people after they've registered. Now it's like a text message and it says go to the clinic.
That's
did that
very
come from
new.
Improving, you know, or improving patient care from a comment? Or was that an idea from Lower 48 or is that a new idea?
Well, we're always trying to determine how to improve our processes mm-hmm. in our organization. And we're always looking at where might we be backing up in flow and how could we make that better for the patient or the customer. And that's one of the topics that came up is, you know, how does the patient know where they're at in terms of readiness to be seen?
Yeah.
And that is a process that was put into place to give them information, give them an idea of it's going to be 15 minutes.
So that you'll get a text message after you register that says...
It's extremely new right now.
Okay.
So I can't speak too much to it.
Yeah.
It's we're working out all the wrinkles in that
so
right
it's important
now.
For patients to give feedback to maybe in those little how
yeah.
do we can make it better.
Yeah, and speaking with the staff. I know one of the things since it's so new, the employees, the staff are determining, you know, how is this working for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're trying to find the patients, you know, this is supposed to be a way to help bring those patients to their appointment setting, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still working on that piece. So maybe if you find a frustration speaking with the staff and telling them right there during the visit or after the visit, you know, what it was like and what didn't work or what worked. That
yeah, if you're a patient, know that's a new way of doing things at YK, but understanding that we're all in this together, and so we can give feedback and just talk about it. We know it's a new thing, and so just working to make it as easy as possible.
Yeah.
And so just again, for anyone who's listening, if you have any questions, we've got Deborah Sampson here. She is Performance Improvement Project Manager, and we're talking about patient safety. You can call 543-5985 or 1-800-995-8954. We've been talking a little bit about why patient safety is important, and all of the work that YKHC is doing with providers as well as their administration and with patients to make sure that we don't make critical mistakes or errors to improve patient safety. So we're focusing on problems in healthcare safety and how we can solve them. And so the Joint Commission, I'm going to, Deborah, if you want to keep going, we have the 2019 National Patient Safety Goals. So we talked about identifying patients correctly. So if every single new department you go to in YK asks you your name and birthday, just know that that's part of safety for you. It's making sure that you are going to get the right care, even if it might be a little bit annoying to keep getting asked the same thing. And then there are standards in place to make sure that you get quality care by getting lab results back on time to your provider. And there's a few more goals, Deb, if you wanted to talk about them.
Yeah, there's the next one is using medication safely. So we have the standard that says we need to make sure that our medications are properly labeled. And I'm glad we're going through this list because one of the things I thought about talking or bringing up is our pharmacy is a very busy pharmacy at our organization, and they fill prescriptions for a lot of patients, and some patients have a lot of medications. So one way we ask our patients to help us in this process is to look at their medications. Mm-hmm. Like they go to pharmacy. I do this for myself and helping my mother as well. When they hand those medications to us after giving education on new medications or asking if we need more education on medications we've always had, I look at the bottles. I look at the instructions. I look at the name. I look at the dose. Mm-hmm. I make sure everything is correct. And I don't take a lot of medications, but I still, you know, do that for the few that I do have. And we ask that all patients do that. They can help with this safety of this process by participating in looking at their medications every time they receive them from mm-hmm. pharmacy.
Even if it's just a vitamin.
Mm-hmm. And we even ask them to open up the pill bottle, look inside. Does it look familiar? Does it look the same? Because there are times when our suppliers change.
Oh, yeah.
And so then the pill may look different. And we got to make sure that it's still the same pill and not a different pill that could have been put in there accidentally. So usually when it's a different supplier, then they'll put a sticker on there saying, okay, your pill may look different, but no, that it's the same medication that we've put in your bottle. So there's another way that you can help keeping yourself safe by looking at your medications. Keeping a list of your medications, writing it down, maybe asking for a printout mm-hmm. from the outpatient clinic setting saying, you know, my medications have recently changed. Can I get a printout of my medications? So that you can better be aware of your current medication needs.
Yeah, and sometimes if you're getting treated for something else or if it's an emergency, it's really important to know all the medications you're on because sometimes two drugs can have a bad interaction, and so the doctor or whoever's taking care will need to know and avoid certain medications.
Exactly. And bringing this information to your appointments, even if you're being seen in the emergency room, mm-hmm. bringing your med lists with you, bringing your pill bottles with you is wonderful. It really helps our providers to know where you're starting from and how we can make sure whatever we're going to be starting on after that visit is good to go with your current medication lists. Let's see.
Infection prevention is a big deal.
Yes.
I know as nurses, we are taught we always wash our hands before we're going to give any patient care, you know, with vaccines, or at least use hand sanitizer if your
yes.
hands are not visibly dirty. And so it's really important. Patients can always ask. And I know sometimes it's intimidating if there's a doctor, but if you see that they're going to give you care and they haven't washed their hands in front of you or put on gloves, you can ask them to wash their hands.
Yeah. Right? In the years past, we used to wonder, how do we know our providers and nurses are washing their hands behind those closed doors? So we came up with something that I found that worked just awesome. So we came up with a little poster, and we put it in each exam room, and it had a hand, a picture of a hand on it. It looked like a clean hand.
Mm-hmm.
But and the wording said, it was a picture of a right hand. It said, you have the right to ask your provider if they have sanitized their hands before taking care of you today. And I really like that poster. Whoever put it into place did the best thing ever, because not only were the patients seeing that, but the staff was seeing it. So together as a team, mm-hmm. they were reminded, oh, yeah, okay, I got to sanitize my hands. So ever since that post, I think we've really learned a lot about making sure we remember not only to sanitize our hands when we're going in the room to take care of our patients,
mm-hmm.
but even when we're leaving the room to go out to the desk area.
Yes, so. And because we're going to be seeing other patients as well.
Yeah.
I'm seeing this guideline that says using proven guidelines to prevent infections that are difficult to treat.
Yes, there are some resistant organisms
yeah.
out there now. Like there's MRSA, M-R-S-A, methicillin-resistant
Staphylococcus
aureus, yeah. So they call it MRSA for short.
Mm-hmm.
But we've heard of MRSA
mm-hmm.
because it's everywhere. It's in our steam baths. It's on our skin as we walk around. It's everywhere, anything we touch. So what keeps us from getting infected from MRSA is intact skin, making sure we don't have chapped hands,
mm-hmm.
Cuts. But also proper treatment for patients who are high prone to get infected from these kinds of organisms, like people with a secondary problem like diabetes
mm-hmm.
are more prone to get sick from these infections that normal people wouldn't get sick from. So we have the help of the CDC, who helps us and tells us how we can best treat these organisms that can be problematic
mm-hmm.
for our population. And we follow their guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
They tell us what medications work best for different types of infection problems, and we use those guidelines in our organization.
Yeah, and definitely some of these infections, like MRSA, if you don't know that you have it, you can also spread it in the home. And so public health also comes into play because it's not just the one person with the infection. Sometimes it can spread if you can't treat it properly. I know over at Public Health Nursing, we deal with a lot of tuberculosis infection, which it can be difficult to treat. Active treatment, if it's uncomplicated, can take 6 months of daily medications, and that's a long time to take medications. So we've been recently working with YKHC and John Morris, who is the clinical nurse educator, as well as acting infection control, I think, nurse manager, just to look at the guidelines on tuberculosis and how we can, at every step in the hospital, like you said, you know, from it's a team effort from reception to the mid-level to lab to outpatient, everyone just understanding what the needs for these patients are and how we can protect them, ourselves, and everyone in our community. So that we've been able to work with you guys on that. So that's been great, too.
Yeah. Working closely with public health nursing has been a very integral part of YKHC. We need that cooperation and collaboration because although Bethel is a community of no more than 7,000, including all the close to 50 villages surrounding Bethel, mm-hmm. this is a region about the size of Oregon. So it's a huge job to yeah. oversee infection problems. So cooperating with public health nurses is always wonderful. So,
and then I guess one more. Well, we've got alarms, infection, preventing mistakes in surgery, and identifying other patient safety risks.
So on this one, on preventing mistakes in surgery, you know, we do a weekly orientation to our new staff. So one of the things I speak to is this also includes outpatient surgical procedures.
Okay.
For example, it might be a biopsy of a skin lesion. And
a biopsy is like it's just a very small procedure, right? Where they take a sample, they'll like
cut out a sample of that whatever it is you want to be studying.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be skin lesions.
Mm-hmm.
So the way this standard is used is we want to make sure we're identifying the correct lesion for the biopsy. We don't want to be making mistakes because there could be several lesions on the patient.
Mm-hmm.
There could be, five areas. And then if we take a sample of only one area and we have to properly identify it and make sure that we know if it's a problem. If the study comes back and says, this is a problem, you know, this might be skin cancer or something, then we know where it came from. And
mm-hmm.
we know that that's the area that was identified. So this standard really came out more for facilities that are doing huge surgeries.
Okay.
Like left and right problems.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe somebody's having a surgical procedure on a right knee, and
mm-hmm.
we don't do surgeries on knees here in our organization. And in that example, they wouldn't want to do it on the wrong knee.
Right.
But in our organization, what we do is we do procedures on fingers, on toes, on more, minor things. But still, we take it as seriously. And this is what we educate our new staff to. We take everything seriously. We don't want to be making mistakes on the wrong finger, the wrong toe,
mm-hmm.
or the wrong lesion. We want to make sure that what we're going in to do is exactly what we came out and we knew we did it correctly. So no matter how minor the procedure is, we take this very seriously, even to the level of the village health aid.
Mm-hmm.
We educate this to the same level and making sure that they are following correct procedures for proper identification.
So sometimes if you have a provider asking, okay, so why are we here today? To reinforce and double check and then triple check. Okay, so can you tell me which arm or finger we're going to be looking at?
Exactly.
And so sometimes maybe you might think, oh, the provider, how come they don't know?
Exactly.
But they're checking to make sure you also know and that they're like, maybe triple checking that they're right.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's exactly how it's done. And you're right. You know, the patient may not understand and they think, what's wrong with this place? Why can't they figure it out? But these are all areas that we're wanting to check and making sure the patient is aware.
Mm-hmm.
And giving the patient an opportunity to ask questions, too, is another big piece that we're really moving towards is, are you aware of what procedure you're going to be having done today?
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to make sure that they're well-informed, they're well-educated, and the choices they're making for themselves is the right choice that you know, they want to make for mm-hmm. themselves. So,
another problem down here, we have finding out which patients are at risk for suicide. Now, for our region, suicide is a big problem, is a huge problem.
Yeah.
So we don't want to only evaluate those patients that have been identified as having been problematic towards suicide mm-hmm. in the past. We evaluate all our patients mm-hmm. for depression, for suicide risk, because we understand it may be someone who's never spoke up about their depression, someone who's never spoke up about their thoughts of suicide, who actually, you know, do an attempt.
Mm-hmm.
So we really try to be aware of all patients who could be at risk. Maybe their best friend mm-hmm. committed suicide. Now they've become a high-risk patient when they never were before.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to identify those people and keep them safe, not only in our organization, but keeping them safe wherever they're going
mm-hmm.
and teaching them how to reach out for help. Maybe they're out and about and they have gotten, I like these wristlets, those rubber wristlets.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where they have those, call this number mm-hmm. if you need someone to talk to. And I like that. I think, you know, wherever they're going, people who are in distress, they mm-hmm. tend to isolate themselves and they'll sit alone, maybe yeah. by the riverside, and they won't want to be by people. And if they have that wristlet, then they can call that number and they can reach out to someone, those suicide hotline numbers, and be safe in that way and mm-hmm. come out of that tough situation.
And I know that during the triage or intake process, there are some questions that people might get asked. Maybe they don't know why, but knowing that they can talk to their provider, it's not just about nurses and doctors and PAs and nurse practitioners are all here to for people. And so mental health is also important part, not just physical health, but mental also affects it. So you guys ask questions during your intake.
Yeah.
Because of that, even if maybe you're not at risk for suicide, but you are stressed and you might need some advice on how to de-stress,
mm-hmm.
you know, doctors and nurses know, you know, different ways you can take that, or maybe it might bring up a conversation and you will talk about some pain you've been having that you weren't able to talk about, you were just ignoring it. And so you can work with your provider, you know,
exactly
to address mental health.
Yeah. And we work very closely with Behavioral Health Division
okay.
and making sure that they get notified of patients who might need a higher level of evaluation. We might find a patient that says, yeah, I have been feeling down. Mm-hmm. I am feeling hopeless. And then once we've gotten that trigger, then we notify behavioral health, where that's, they're total experts mm-hmm. on, you know, studying, helping patients with their emotional health and spiritual health. So we reach out to them, and they go to the patient and try to help them as they've been trained.
Mm-hmm. And we've got a caller right now, John from Bethel. Hi, John.
Oh, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, you know, there's been some recent outbreaks on measles and TB.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are coming here to Bethel. When they get released from the hospital, they're still coughing away, and they've still got fever, and they're not feeling well. And yet they want to stay in a home where there's a place where there's kids in there, and they call me up most of the time. I forget that they're sick. I say, yeah, come on over to my house and stay there. You know, to prevent outbreaks, the hospital should know that they shouldn't go stay in, or they should just be in Guyana House or somewhere,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because it's so, I don't feel good when I tell people, you can't stay here because you're too sick yet.
Yeah.
I got kids in my house, and you're coughing, and you know, I don't want you to come stay in my house because it's not that I don't want you to be mm-hmm. around. You know, you've got to explain all this stuff to the patient when they come in my house, after they come to the hospital. So they should be very well evaluated to prevent outbreaks. The hospital should have a place to have them stay overnight if they're stuck in town.
Thanks.
So I'm really scared about these outbreaks that are coming along, and all the store-bought goods that are tainted.
Oh.
And, you know, all these problems that are heading up our way is pretty overwhelming. So you guys have a good morning. Thank you very much for letting me speak on KYK. Everyone have a good fishing day.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, thank you, John. I think you've got some very valid concerns there for you and your family. One of the ways that we really try to encourage our population out here to stay as healthy as possible is by getting immunized, using the immunizations. Is a way to build up your immunity in your body so that your body doesn't get infected with what's going around, whether it be measles or whether it be every year with the annual influenza concern. I know one of the things I wanted to bring up is when I was younger, I myself didn't believe in the influenza
mm-hmm.
shot. I did not want to get it. I really believed it made me sick. I was a true believer. I would never get the influenza shot for myself. And I'd always say no every year when the employer would say, it's time for flu shots. Are you going to get yours? You know, and people have the right to refuse. So I was one of those who refused. And then when I started seeing more severe outcome from influenza, people were dying, even in our region. I thought, this is a risk I don't want to take. And I changed my mind, and I started getting the flu shot. And I made sure my family got the flu shot. And I've never regretted it since then. I really feel that we are more protected as a family. And when I hear people coughing and hacking away, I wonder if they got their flu shot, you know? I don't know if they did or not, but I feel more protected knowing that I received my flu shot, knowing that my family received their flu shot. And that's one of the ways we are really trying to get our population more healthy. Mm. We offer, there are times we have the table at the front of the hospital where we say, we'll give it to you right here. If you just give us 5 minutes of your time, we'll give you your flu shot if you want it. So that's one of the ways to help keep our patients safer and not infecting other people, other families, you know. So,
and you can be infected with multiple respiratory infections. You could have bronchitis and the flu.
Yeah.
So if you cough, you don't really know. You should get evaluated too.
Yeah, especially for a cough that doesn't go away.
Yeah. So, and I guess John and John's other concern was about tuberculosis. So there's always activity historically in the region, the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, since I think when the Russians came and brought tuberculosis. And so it's a real concern here. If someone is coughing, you know, one thing that patients can do, and John does a great job, unfortunately, it should also come from the hospital, and it does. But sometimes patients will leave the hospital, and we can't physically restrain them. Public health comes in those situations. If somebody's very infectious, we can potentially quarantine people, but that's also extremely difficult to do. People have individual rights, and so we really just try to educate as much as we can. Ways to not spread infectious respiratory disease like tuberculosis, like wearing a mask. If you are in the hospital at all and you have a cough, there are elders, there are babies who don't even have any vaccines, there are people who take steroids for their arthritis, and so all of those people are at risk for more infection. So if someone asks you to wear a mask, it's not because they want everyone to know you're sick, it's to protect other people, and even you if you're coughing and sick. But one thing is for people in the community, like John, yeah, you sometimes, even though you want to help other people, if somebody is sick and coughing, have them go to the clinic if they don't know what's wrong, and make sure that you're also protecting your little ones, because with something like tuberculosis too, babies and elders are more at risk. And so if there are children in the home, it's better to have someone, if they've been coughing for 3 or more weeks, if they're sweating in their bed at night, if any blood comes out when they're coughing up mucus, or if they've just been feeling more tired and don't want to eat and losing weight. So those are, for that specific infection, that's something, if community members can say something and have people encourage them to get, you know, a skin test or go to the clinic if they are feeling those things.
And write down all those symptoms before you get seen by the provider, so you don't forget to tell the provider about what might be important.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to share that. Make sure you write down your questions, write down your symptoms, because, you know, there's a limited time you have with your provider, so you don't forget the important stuff.
Yeah. So I just wanted to thank you, Deborah, for your time. For anyone who was listening to the show or just tuned in, Deborah Sampson's a performance improvement project manager at YKHC. And so this week was Patient Safety Awareness Week. And so it's going to continue through Friday. If we can just, if you have any questions, you can leave them in a comment box at the hospital, talk to your provider, nurse, doctor, whoever's seeing you. If you see Deborah, you can chat with her. Then there's a table at the front right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Throughout this week.
Yeah. So anything you can think of that might help improve patient education or your safety, you can get in touch with YKHC. Is there anything you'd like to add?
I'm just so happy for Pete Kaiser. I just wanted to throw that in at the end. I'm just so happy.
That was his first time, right?
Yes.
Yes,
and
awesome.
The editor, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. That's it for Wellness Wednesday. And congrats, to Pete.
Thanks for listening to Wellness Wednesdays. on KYUK, a show about the health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Catch us every Wednesday at 10 a.m.